Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to episode 121 of the award-winning Women's Running Podcast. I'm your host, Esther Newman, and she is your other host, Holly Taylor. We recorded this on the 1st of December, so we're in the middle of some strong Advent content. We then slowly move on to our very excitable chat about our big award win. We are chuffed to bits that the Women's Running Podcast, this podcast you're currently listening to, has been voted Podcast of the Year for the second year in a row, and we have a lovely pink award and two very large hangovers to show for it. Then we finally move on to running. We talk about running a 5K round Battersea Park, which we did last Wednesday evening for sports shoes at the Run Through Chase the Moon event, which we thoroughly recommend, with lots of high vis and bright lights and nice snacks. We also talk about our slightly epic journey back to Bath afterwards. I talk about a big fat New Year's resolution with my running here, but it's not what you might think. It's not distance or pace or number of races or anything like that. Holly is also gearing up for her New Year's resolution, and it's also not what you might think. Lots of surprises here today. And then we have a huge announcement about food, because we're going to do Veganuary with our friends over on the Simply Vegan podcast. And we're a bit scared about it because Holly loves her cheese and I love my bacon. But we're going to get our own back by helping them train for a half marathon, which is around the same time as Paris. So we're all going to be training together, powered by Shroom Dogs and Facon. What larks?
No, you can ask me about my advent calendar.
Okay, I'm going to ask you straight away now. Did you have an advent calendar in the end? And if so, how was it?
I did not have an advent calendar, Holly. I'm really sorry. But the kids had advent calendars and I bought an advent calendar for Dave, which he wasn't expecting. And we had advent candles, which is what
Have you already burnt your advent candles this morning?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
We are like all over advent in this house. Yeah, it was just, I remember having the candles when I was a kid. And that's the bit that I used to find so exciting for some reason. I think maybe, I don't know. Definitely when I was a kid, there was no advent calendars with chocolate in them. So as much as I loved them, I think the thing that I really liked was seeing the candle burnt down. It built the excitement. And because, you know,
yeah, it really does.
Like, oh my God, we're almost there.
Yeah.
We got those.
I would really like to get into advent candles. I'm quite tempted to see if I can buy some at it's 1st of December on day of recording, dear listener.
So, get one.
I'm a bit last min, but yeah, I completely remember that feeling. We used to have them too. And it reminds me of, in Doug's family, they make towers of Duplo that represent days. So like, I don't know, say it's 2 weeks until end of exams when we were in school or whatever. They would put 14 Duplo blocks and then every day they'd take a Duplo block off. And it's a similar effect.
How have they still got Duplo? How old is Doug?
I know. This was when Doug was... I remember the last time there was a Duplo thing, I remember it was when Doug was 18, he was doing his A-levels, so I have no idea they still had Duplo. They're kind of an organised family, though, that probably got the Duplo in a box labelled Duplo in the attic.
Yeah. Oh, don't. I dislike people that have boxes of Duplo in the attic marked Duplo, because I just have...
Yeah, I don't, definitely don't still have any. Yeah, same. God. I don't know whether my parents have got an attic.
Oh, God. You anyway, know, the last...
Dull.
I was gonna... Sorry, right, yeah, it is dull.
Talk about attics. Oh, you said, what were you going to say?
I was going to say that actually I do know that I've got like a pile of hand-knitted things that all the grannies have knitted for Ted and Felix when they were babies and stuff. That I did kind of, I say carefully, but I basically bunged into a plastic bag, put in the attic. And then a couple of years ago, I found it and the bag had disintegrated. And I was like, rats, we've got rats. And Dave said, oh, no, it's a biodegradable bag. So it biodegraded. Knitting was fine. Anyway, yeah, moving on. You must have had an advent calendar. What did you have?
I did. So this is actually, even Esther doesn't know about this because... we were at an event last night that we'll talk about in a bit. And on the way home on the train, my advent calendar still hadn't been revealed to me on the 30th of December.
I'm so very excited.
I know. Doug had, go on, get excited. It's quite exciting. Doug had an advent calendar where every day you get a bit and you have to build a little synthesizer thing at the end.
That's
very
really
him,
cool.
Very Dave, very them.
Yeah, Dave would
very
have loved that.
Men.
Yeah.
Yeah. not to make stereotypes about these things, but very, yeah.
Yeah.
And and so he got a bit this morning and then realized, and then I was like, oh, put it together, get it to work. And he went, nay, batteries. And I was like, oh, well, that's a bit shit if it didn't say batteries not included, needs batteries on the box. And he went, it did. So a festive fuck up for me this morning.
Love it.
But I had, so Doug got me a Thornton's chocolate advent calendar.
That's very posh.
I know. It was so posh. This morning I had an amaretti and white chocolate biscuit chocolate thing.
Oh my God.
I know. It was such a luxury way to start the morning. It was better than my usual... I don't usually have breakfast, so it was an improvement on anything.
Chocolate for breakfast.
That was amazing.
Nice.
Chocolate for
breakfast. That's a good one.
I'm looking forward to chocolate for breakfast for the next 23 days. and then my mum had got me, that's why my mum texted me on the train last night saying, ask Doug about Advent. Doug had been hiding an Advent calendar that she'd sent a few weeks ago. And it's William Morris.
Oh, lovely.
I know. And every day it's got a different lovely smelly thing, like hand cream or a bath bomb or bath salts. It's going to be great for training. Bath salts are in there. And I know, and they're all gorgeous smelling and they've got a lovely William Morris design on them. How amazing is that? What a legend.
Oh my God, two advent calendars. Oh.
I've got two advent calendars. I don't think I've had two advent calendars since I was a child. So every day I'm going to have... I mean, this morning I rushed, I woke up and I ran to the living room and I got the advent calendars and I brought them to bed and we opened them in bed. I have a feeling that that's not going to be every morning for the rest of December, but I was very excited about it today. Happy Advent, one and all, whatever that means to you.
Quite. Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed. I mean, I must admit, this was the first day in... probably a year that I've not had to drag the kids out of bed. So they were desperate to go downstairs.
Yeah, tell me about their reactions. That's who I'm most excited to hear about, is Ted and Felix.
Well, Christmas is all about them. So it's so nice. It's so lovely because I'd become such a... Because I had kids quite late in life. Like all my mates had had kids when they were like 30 and stuff like that, at that sort of time. And I didn't crack on until I was like 39, 40. In fact, I was 41 when I had Felix by one day. It meant that Christmas for me had just become a kind of dull sort of grudge of moving between kind of various family groups. And it hasn't been a huge amount of fun. And particularly before I met Dave, I remember there was one Christmas where I was planning to actually work in a food bank. And I, in the end, I decided not to for one. I think it was a last minute decision not to. But I had no kind of desperate need to do kind of that. So anyway, so, but that's all changed. And I know this is not the case for everyone, but it is in my little life. It changed because of the kids and, and seeing their little faces. And it's so lovely. I was talking to you about it last night, wasn't I? That Ted doesn't, I know he doesn't believe in Father Christmas anymore, but he still retains a wish to sort of perpetuate the myth. So he's very silent.
Yeah.
He doesn't talk about it to Felix. Felix probably knows too.
It's very stoic of him.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. And Felix is desperately clinging on with her fingernails to the belief system. Mm-hmm. I always remember the time when she said, you know, when I do my wishes, when I blow out my candles, I've wished a lot of the time for unicorns and, like, you know, basically, where the fuck are they, mummy? And and I said, yes, right. They exist, but in a different world, in magical world. And it's only if you believe that they exist. And sometimes, because you're a child and only children can feel these things, sometimes you might be able to feel its breath as you're walking to school, which I thought was a really magical thing to say.
And oh, you're so sweet.
I know I am. And she said, she turned around to me and she went, oh, I think I can feel it. So, I mean, that was about 2 years ago, but but not anymore. Anyway, all of that to say that now, obviously, it's all just about commerce. And not about Christmas at all. But I still get really, really, really super excited about it. And so this year, Ted has Lego in his calendar. And I did quite a lot of research for his Lego calendar. I dismissed all of this year's. They weren't good enough because Ted is all about the minifigures and there weren't enough. And so I bought one from last year on that eBay, which had more minifigures. And so he got Tony Stark this morning. He was very excited.
Nice. So he gets a little Lego person every day.
Not every day. I think there's some builds and things, you know, some little bits of buildings and bits of cars or whatever. So that's it's a very incredible. Exciting calendar. Really exciting. And Felix has got Roblox, a concept which I don't understand because it's just basically a computer game.
I don't understand it either. I told you to watch this, didn't I? I've been watching What We Do in the Shadows.
Yes, I watched one episode of that. It was really good fun. Yeah.
Did you like it? Bizarre.
Yeah, I did.
It's very bizarre. Like
it. No, I liked it very much.
Well, where I am in the story now, there is a child in their life. I won't ruin any surprises. He is obsessed with Roblox, and I was watching it last night when I got in while I was eating my hash browns. We'll go into all of this in a bit. He was talking about Roblox, and I was trying to, because you told me on the train home that Felix was having a Roblox calendar, and I was trying to work out, based on what this child on the program was saying, what a Roblox advent calendar might be. And he talked a lot about Robux. And I wondered if it was Robux in the calendar.
It's not. So Roblox is a game, and I know I think it's very similar to Minecraft. So there's a lot of building and kind of stuff like that. And very kind of blocky, hence the name. But I think it's slightly cuter. So I know that Ted is very dismissive of Roblox, although he will play it occasionally if pushed. But Felix likes it a lot. So I think it's a bit cuter. She basically got the top half of a gingerbread man. And she was, I think, very much whelmed by this experience. Because like while Ted fixing Lego together, she was like, I've got half a gingerbread man. So, I think it will all become playable and wonderful on like Christmas Eve, but she's just getting random bits and pieces.
So she's going to get a bit like Doug's. She's going to get a little bit every day. Whereas Ted is going to be absolutely buzzing every day to have a new bloke.
Absolute
or
buzzing.
A new whatever. Yeah. Whoever that,
He's
I'm
such
actually
a
very
person.
Invested in both of their advent calendars and I can't wait
I'm
to hear
so
more.
I know, me too.
Do join us on Patreon because we've got a couple of new benefits. when you subscribe. And that's from just £2 a month. First, we have an exclusive weekly newsletter from me and Hol, just for patrons, with lots of lovely secrets from us. And secondly, patrons on the Cheer Squad tier, which is just £6 a month, can listen to bonus podcasts too. Our first one is chocker with swearing and controversy and running scandals. It's like Serial, but for running. It's ace.
Well, should we talk about our amazing award?
Yeah, let's. Ooh. So actually, that felt kind of like the beginning of the festive season to me last week. That was my first day that felt really cozy and festive and fun.
Oh, it did, didn't it, actually? Yeah.
Yeah.
And you got to go to that lush, lovely Italian place, didn't you? So
I know. One of the highlights is, so every year, obviously, we work for Women's Running and we have a wider kind of publisher called Anthem. And it means that we are involved in a few different kind of like publishing, what do you call them, sort of organizations or whatever. And there's one every year that do an awards. And the highlight is that the place that they hold the awards is right next to Eataly in London, which is a sort of Italian food department store. And it's my favorite thing ever. Esther and I discovered it last year and we're obsessed.
Oh, it's amazing. It's just like panettone as far as the eye can see and just chocolate everywhere.
It's got a panettone, sort of like a panettone tunnel, hasn't it? That you walk through and it's like, I wouldn't be surprised if there was sort of people sort of rowing down a river of chocolate in a panettone boat.
Exactly.
It's that energy. It's very Wonka.
It is very Wonka. Italian Wonka.
Yeah. Italian Wonka.
A Wonka.
A Wonka. Sorry to any Italians.
Sorry. I didn't get to go there this year, but you went, didn't you?
I had the most insane
drink.
I had a ginger hot chocolate and it was absolutely insane. It was like it was like a pudding. I was slightly embarrassed actually when it arrived because we're just about to go for this three course meal that you have, and then you have the award ceremony. It's all a lovely kind of knees up to celebrate the year. And so we're just about to go for a big slap up meal. And I thought, I'll have a quick hot drink, but I don't want another coffee because I've already had a coffee and I might be buzzing off my tits. So I was like, oh, I know, I'll have a little treat and I have a hot chocky. And it was a ginger hot chocolate. So again, actually, I thought that was maybe slightly holier than having like salted caramel hot chocolate or something. So I was like, oh, I have the ginger one. Yeah. And it was like a ginger flavored hot chocolate saucy drink, so thick, so rich, amazing. And then it had about 4 tons of whipped cream on top, and then it was covered in amaretti biscuits. Oh,
it looked like a Knickerbocker Glory. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh, it was insane. I used to love a Knickerbocker Glory when I was a kid. I used to always get that as a pud if I could.
Oh.
No, it's sort of back to anyway, the roots.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, yeah, it was a pub that used to do it. Anyway, sorry. Anyway. On topic, isn't it?
Isn't it? But, oh my God. Back in the room. We were there for the...
Back in the room.
PPA Independent Publisher Awards. Quite niche, we agree. But we were there because we were nominated for two awards and we got one of them. And it just happened to be for this podcast. For the second year in a row.
It was for the second year in a row. So we were not expecting it in a million years. It was slightly embarrassing that we were like, oh, we're going to go. And it, of course, it's the taking part that counts, as we all well know as runners.
Yeah.
But to also be nominated, winning is nice, isn't it?
Winning is bloody nice.
So we were practicing our polite faces for when, and also this year we didn't get to sit together. So we were sat with a bunch of people that we didn't really know. So I was practicing and they kept winding me up all the way through. They were like, good to have a winner on the table. And I know. So I felt like the pressure was really on and I was practicing going, oh no, I really don't think we'll win for the second year in a row. And actually we did. And I just vindicated. It was very exciting. It was so exciting.
It
and
was
we
lovely.
Got an I just award I presented to us. It's like being in the Brit Awards, isn't it? Because it's actually in this small conference room. It's quite big, actually. Lovely big space, and in a nice conference room, and you have a huge, lovely slap up meal, three course, very tasty, big stage. Somebody comes and does some comedy. So we had Angela Barnes, who's from Mock the Week and stuff, and she did some comedy. And
she's about very funny.
Women's running, we got picked out, which was quite funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she was a runner, it turns out, which was lush. We'll see if we can get her on the pod. But she, I don't know how we'll get in touch with her now. She said, of course I'll be on the pod at the time, and I'm sure we'll never speak to her again. She then presented us our award, which was a joy. Oh yeah, what I was going to say about feeling at the Brit Awards. Do you know what I mean? It's like, so what you're actually doing is you're going up from a table and a bunch of blokes in suits are giving you a clap. But they play music like you are in Wembley Stadium.
Yes, they do. Yeah.
It's so funny. It's so funny. I don't know whether I can sing any songs because of copyright issues, but it will play like Dua Lipa at full volume or something. And you'll have to waltz off onto the stage and get your thing. And it feels like the Brit Awards when they win something and they play like a snippet of the song. That I feel as though I am the writer and producer of Levitating by Dua Lipa when I go up.
Although
it's so funny.
I think one of the reasons why they do that is to prevent you from going on stage and saying, I thank my mum and thank, you know, da, 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 you know.
I think so they do, you're not allowed not the to done do thing. No, no, it's not the done thing to do a talk. I think otherwise you'd be there for a million years because there's quite a lot of awards and sometimes people have a special commendation or whatever. And so it's not really the done thing to do a speech, though loving the sound of my own voice, I have always wanted them to go, would you like to say a few words? And for us to go, yes, we just love women.
Yes, we would.
And we would probably love to do a few words. But also, so it's quite boozy. Yeah. So usually you've had a couple of glasses before then. So I'd probably say something stupid. But
yeah, likewise. Me too. So, God, it was so lovely, wasn't it? Because I don't think we really thought we'd get anywhere with it. And I just remember standing up and seeing.
Not in a million years did I think we'd win it again.
No, me either. And I saw you across the room sort of thing. And it took ages to kind of be able to give you a hug because we had to sort of pick our way through like all those different tables and stuff like that.
I know.
And it was just a little bit like, but yeah, it was just so, yeah, it was unexpected and it was lush. And then our boss came over with a bottle of champagne. So we had a glass of fizz afterwards as well. So that was really nice.
Oh, it was so nice. And I just felt, it felt so lovely because obviously it feels great to win. We've been very lucky that we've worked on some brilliant teams and we've won a couple of other awards. You may not know that Esther Newman has won Editor of the Year before.
I have.
But I think when you win those kind of awards, it's brilliant and it's amazing. But I think the most exciting part of winning an award for the podcast is that I really feel like that's our community and it's all of us together. Yeah. I know it sounds really cheesy and gross, but I do feel as though I had such a sense of pride, not just in us and what we'd achieved, but in our whole community that I don't think I'd have felt if we'd have won anything else. So I was just so, so, so pleased it was the pod and I couldn't wait to tell everybody.
Well, yeah. And I think because it's the pod, I think I know sometimes it feels like we're kind of shouting swear words into a vacuum, but like we hear more from pod squatters than we do from any other parts of our audience. So like, because we've got the magazine and we've got social channels and we've got the website and stuff like that, but with the podcast, because you guys are kind of you talk to us more, so I think it feels like we know you a little bit more. And yeah, it definitely feels like it felt like we were all up there. It was And actually, because I put a little post on Patreon and all the messages of people just saying that they're thrilled for us was really, really sweet as well. So, yeah, it was lovely.
It was really nice. Really so lush. Yeah. So thank you for, lots of nice messages on Patreon, nice messages on Instagram. Thank you all. Love you all. Yeah. It's literally all because of the fact that you guys actually listen and get involved and we've built this kind of little gang together.
Exactly.
That's what they said. they were like, oh, women's running have engaged with the audience in a very personal way. It's very unique and something else about community and stuff. So it's you guys, really.
Yeah, community and stuff.
Yay.
Oh, speaking of community and stuff, we want to do another podcast live. So we were thinking, I think the 15th? Was it the 15th of December?
Were. And we need to iron stuff out and we need to find out exactly what we're going to do. But I think it's safe to say that we're probably going to call it the Women's Running Podcast Christmas Party. Yeah. And we will expect everybody to have a hat, of course, and other non-denominational faiths.
Yes.
So Hanukkah, Christmas, Eid, whatever it may be. I don't think those are all necessarily around the same time. But
probably not.
Let's either way, whatever. Lovely and boozy and festive together and wear a party hat, bring a glass of Prosecco. Yeah. We'll let you know details of how you can get involved. But if you're a patron, then as usual, that will be freely available to you and you'll get first dibs. Everybody else will give you a shout and let you know what's going on.
Exactly. I don't know if it's, because I've just realised by saying 15th, I'm not sure about, anyway, it's going to be in that week. It's going to be around that week.
It's going to be in that week. And we will, we'll let you know. And certainly I will be drinking Prosecco and being very silly. And we thought maybe we might even try and do a Christmas quiz. We can do Christmas some silly games. I'm very excited about this. We had a bit of a moment of brilliance when we were thinking about it last night and we were like, let's have a big Christmas party for all of us. So that's the plan.
Well, it was Holly. Holly had the moment of brilliance. I was just sitting there just going, oh, should we just wang on like normal? And Holly said, let's have a Christmas party. I was like, oh my God, such a good idea. So yeah, hats, festive glasses, dealy boppers. Bits of tinsel.
Oh, yeah.
Tinsel in your bunches.
Very excited. So. Tinsel in your bunches. Exactly. That, what says Christmas more than a very itchy head?
Yeah. Right.
Yes, we've got to talk about something else as well. Are we about to talk about the same thing? Do you want to talk about last night?
I was going to talk about last night. Yeah, we need
Me
to talk
too.
About last night. So last night... was quite random. Yeah, we did find ourselves on a train at 9 o'clock at night coming back from London because we had gone to a little running event. We went to, it was called Chase the Moon and it was by Run Through and it was a 5K running around Battersea Park at night. I think it started at 7 o'clock at night. And we both went because we'd been invited by Run Through, but also by Sports Shoes who'd been sponsoring the event. So we just thought we'd try it out. So we had this run in the cold and the dark, which was quite a kind of sensory experience, wasn't it, to be running in the dark and stuff?
Yeah, I actually loved it. I really enjoyed running in the dark and the cold. I felt, I don't know if this makes any sense, but I somehow felt like it was a bit easier to breathe in the cold.
Yeah, I think I sometimes feel like that when it's a bit, when the air is kind of damp, then it's definitely feels a bit easier to breathe slightly for me with
it's hydrating, isn't it? I suppose
my little asthmatic mouth kind of thing. But it wasn't lovely to have the because there was like you know little collections of volunteers who were cheering us round, and there was one guy who was sort of looked a bit like Father Christmas who was cheering.
Yes, there was a bloke who looked very like Father Christmas, and he was very jolly and festive, wasn't he?
Yeah. And he was absolutely delightful. So, it was a really nice experience.
And he sort of went, imagine if he, I don't know, if he sort of gave us a little wink and went, oh, the finish line has been inside you the whole time. Is that something that Father Christmas would sort of say mysteriously?
Yeah. Well, it sounds slightly creepy the way that you've just
sounds
said it.
Sounds a bit gross, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
What else would Father Christmas say?
If you believe in that finish line, if you believe in the finish line, it will come, or something like that. Yeah,
yeah. And then he'd do a little wink, and then you'd look back, and you'd go, thanks, ooh. Santa. And then you'd look round, and he'd be gone, and you go,
gone.
What?
Oh,
yeah. Oh, we're silly. Yeah. Anyway, it was lush. So we got there. We were wearing a bunch of kit that Sports Shoes had kindly sent us from, I believe it's one of their own brands. They're called High Estate, and they're really reasonably priced and pretty decent stuff that's like all reflective gear. Yeah. The jacket is bloody, you could see me coming for miles. That's probably why Father Christmas was looking out for us.
Was ho-ho-hoing, yeah.
Couldn't not. Yeah. But so we turned up, we were wearing the kit, and we had a nice chat with Sports Shoes. They were lovely. Mm. We braved the Portaloos. They were fine.
They were. I was a bit scared.
You're a bit scared.
Mm. Yeah, well, because it was completely dark. I'm just not very good at stuff like that. Weeing in the dark means I automatically think I'm going to wee on my feet, but I didn't. So it was all fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we spoke to
them. They were clean. They had loo roll in.
There was loo roll, and it was nice.
Had loo roll in. Yeah.
And there was nice, and we had nice snacks afterwards.
Oh, yeah. The actual course as well. It was two laps of a bit of Battersea Park. Yeah. And I think that was perfect for me. The 10Kers were doing four laps, and we thought that actually four laps of it might get a little bit repetitive, but two laps was lovely. It was really nice, and it was dead flat.
Yeah, dead flat. Yeah, it was lovely. It was lovely to know just what you're doing and everything. I thought, and it was really nicely marked. And the guy from Run Through was really lovely as well, wasn't he? And
he was so nice.
And we got really nice. Yeah, with one of the snacks was like was a bounce bar. I don't know if anyone's had one of those before. And they're kind of spherical. And the ones we had were like covered in chocolate and just full of really nice things.
They were they were like my Thornton's, something that would come out my Thornton's advent calendar. Yeah, they were bloody lush.
Absolutely delicious.
They were honestly genuinely nice. Yeah. And then there was corn, bits of corn. I like that. Yeah. That's not so much Esther's thing.
Not my thing, no. We had that.
I love little bits of unpopped popcorn.
It's very strange.
It's a bit weird.
Lots of little snacks. So that was, it was all just very lovely, actually, wasn't it? But I do wish I'd worn
it was so nice.
I wish I'd worn my Christmas running shoes now.
Yeah, there were a few Father Christmas hats. We didn't realise that would be a thing. I don't know whether it's a weekly event or whether it's a slightly less regular one, but it's definitely a regular event. And I definitely recommend a evening. I mean, I don't know. Our listeners probably all do this already, and we're just getting used to the idea ourselves. But having a running group or a little event that's a regular thing that goes in the evening, it was like a park run, but evening, and it was so nice. And we got medals,
yeah. Yeah, I think it's because we're so parochial and we live out here in the country and we don't realise these things go on. But it was absolutely lovely. Run Through, because I was just looking at the list of the events that they do on the train, and they do loads and loads of runs. And this felt very, very inclusive and very kind of casual, but in an organized way. That probably doesn't make sense, but just like in a very kind of, it felt like you could sort of rock up and just do it like park run. But the benefit is that you get a medal and you get people cheering you, and you do it park run actually, and you get snacks. Yeah. So it felt really, really nice.
It was great.
Really inclusive, really
and
lovely.
Then we were absolutely buzzing to go and get chips. The whole way round, we talked the fact that we were going to get chips afterwards, and we were really excited about it. Yeah. And we got on the tube. I think we both were feeling a bit cocky because Esther knows London. I had City Mapper out, and we were like, oh, yes, ha, 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 Circle Line, westbound, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, and then we got on the tube, and suddenly we were in Hammersmith, and we were supposed to be getting to Paddington to get our train home for 9 o'clock. And we were like, oh, fuck. I still don't understand how we teleported to Hammersmith.
Do not know how we did that. We were on the right stops going in the right direction, and suddenly we realised we're on the District Line, and it's like, oh, bollocks. And
suddenly it was like, the next station is Hammersmith.
Bloody miles away.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
The next station is Aberdeen. Yeah. It was mental. We had no idea how we ended up there.
And then we had to run across.
Panic and run. And
Like we were in, like
it's
we were in a.
It's funny now. It's funny
some
now.
Stupid.
At the time. We were not laughing at the time, but it's funny now because I don't know whether I've ever seen you quite like that. Even when we've been to Berlin together and stuff, like you were quite relaxed. Esther was like you were running. She was running around the tube station. And going, I just don't understand how we've done this. And we were running around and we were...
It's true. I was like, I don't understand it. I don't understand it. And my thing was, and I still want to go and look at a tube map, because for the first sort of three stops, we were on the same stops as we should have been. So, yeah. You know, and I took my eye off the tube ball for like one stop. And it was, like you said, was suddenly a bazillion miles away. And we were running through London like we were in some kind of comedy drama with Hugh Grant or something. And, and it was just like, how has this happened? And I think what we would have done better to do, I mean, it all worked out fine in the end, but what we would have done better to do would be to get on the tube on the other side of the platform and just go back one stop. And I think that probably would have got us to our destination a bit quicker. But anyway.
It would have done, but we got to run through Hammersmith tube station, which is actually lovely. And yeah, it was very, very Hugh. It was like, I could hear a voiceover. Yeah. Being like, people rushing back and forth, trying to get home to their loved ones. Because what is life if not love? It was very like that. Except we were like, fucking hell.
What the fuck are we doing here? How have we done it?
We were so cross. But the point of that was that we ended up in Paddington having sort of boasted to each other about how we were going to have 25 minutes or whatever to choose whatever lovely snacks.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a Burger King. I think they do burritos. There's a Leon that's like sort of healthy fast food. I was so excited to take our pick of what we were going to get. And then there was absolutely no time for that at all. We arrived with...
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Minutes to spare or something before our train left, and then we, thank God, Esther had some of Ted and Felix's snacks, of sort of mini party rings and stuff.
Mini party rings I had in my bag. Yeah, so we had those, thinking that was it, and then the trolley arrived, so we're like, brilliant, we can get something off the trolley. But all they had was,
and we went,
all
sandwiches.
No,
he was like, now you're having a laugh, sandwiches on the train trolley. Yeah. So we did, however, get crisps and a drink, I think, didn't we? It was nice. Yeah.
Mini cheddars.
I had a
Which
Sprite.
Is not,
and the men
not
next
the same.
To me, I felt, were slightly judging us. So I did have to... There was a bit of judgment because we've been eating party rings, and then we ordered from the trolley... Quavers, mini cheddars and a Sprite. And then they sort of slightly looked at us as if to say, do you know how much sugar's in that? And and I was like, I never do this, because usually, you know, we know what we've just done and it doesn't matter. But I felt the need for some showing off and to put them in their place a bit. So I did say, we have just run a 5K. We haven't had any dinner.
I heard some defensiveness in your voice when you said that.
Yeah, I did get a little bit defensive. And then they sort of went, oh, ha, 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 or whatever. And did you notice as well? I'm sorry, they were quite nice men, but very just nice. Classic patronizing train blokes. They were like, you said something about having about half. You then, trying to deflect from this awkward conversation that was going on where the men were trying to tease us about our sugar, and we were like, fuck off, mate. We've just run 3 miles. What have you done? And it's only some bloody party rings. Relax. And a sugar-free Sprite. Fucking hell. Anyway, these two, apparently, Jamie Oliver with the turkey twizzlers came in and started telling us off for having fun. And then Esther said to try and distract and deflect and just us talk between ourselves again and ignore these men. Oh, do you know that run through also do a half in Richmond Park? We should do that. Wouldn't that be fun? Mm. And the guy had the fucking gall to turn to you and he went, oh, you do know a half marathon's a little bit more training than a 5K, don't you? Did you clock that?
I didn't clock that.
Oh my God. Well, here you go. Clock it now.
Why didn't I clock that at the time? So I could turn around and go,
oh, I'm so sorry. I thought you'd already heard this. I don't want to ruin your day by saying that. How patronizing is that?
Oh my God. I should have turned around and said, do you know who we are?
I know. I think at that point I'd already said we worked for a running magazine and I did kind of want to be like, are you okay? Do you think that we don't know what a half marathon is? I wanted to give him a quiz. I wanted to be like, how many weeks?
Yeah.
How many weeks? Yeah. What's going to be your top mileage? What is the total mileage of a half marathon?
Oh, God.
James, or whoever you are.
I did not clock that. Oh, my God.
That was why when they did eventually leave, because they had been relatively friendly, but that was why when they did eventually leave and they weren't sitting next to us anymore, I did go, thank Christ, a little bit, because they were really sweet, but they just kept trying to get involved in everything. And
they did. Yeah, they kept on interrupting our conversations, didn't they, that we were having to each other, and they kept on interrupting us, didn't they? And it was just like,
yeah. And it was in a slightly, oh, you're sort of little girls way. Do you know what I mean? Like they were kind of like, it was a bit teasy.
Yeah.
And I was going with it for a bit. And then by the end, I was just like, ugh. It was a little bit like the bloke on the way home. We've had some funny old blokes on trains recently.
Yeah.
It was a little bit like the bloke on the way home from the PPA Awards when we got a lovely podcast award. That the guy next to us there said, and tell me, why is it appropriate that there can be a women's running podcast but not a men's running podcast?
Yeah.
And there are obviously many answers to that. But yeah. One of the ones I wanted to give was just, well, why don't you bloody start one then, mate?
Yeah. There are many answers. One of them being that all the rest of them are for men.
Exactly. So
dear.
Men on trains. And usually I don't mind having a good old debate with a bloke on a train if I've had a couple of glasses of wine, which was the case, obviously, after the awards, was not the case last night. But I didn't have time for this that time because we just won a lovely award and it was all about women running, doing brilliant things for women, by women, et cetera, et cetera. And then this bloke was kind of asking us to justify ourselves. And I really enjoyed the people I sat with at the awards, but it was an all-male table. And I was really looking forward to just sitting with you on the train and going, oh, we bloody did it. How lovely. Mm. And then this guy was sort of asking us to justify ourselves. And I was like, can everyone just fuck off? That's how I felt.
It's like, do you know, sometimes it feels like one of those arguments that I have with Dave when he starts to try and give me advice for things when I have not asked for advice, and I have to sit with him and I just go, no, I just want you to listen, you know, just go,
that's a very good thing to say,
you know. And this guy, the PPA guy on the train, it was just like, shh now. stop with the thoughts, we don't need to hear them.
It was just very intense, wasn't it?
But it was a bit.
At least he did seem to take us relatively seriously,
a little bit.
Sorry, I got a bit of hiccups. Whereas the guys on the train last night, but here we go, I'm gonna say it, they were very much the kind of blokes that I think Esther and I probably had more brain cells between us than either of them. And they were acting as though we were silly little girls and they were being, not in an awful way, they were nice, but like it was very teasy, wasn't it? And oh, do you not know how many, you know, it's a bit more training than that, do you know how much sugar's in that, oh baby Jesus, and something to do with advent calendars or something, I don't know. It was all very patronizing, all the stuff that they were saying. They're making lots of jokes that were slightly geared towards the idea that we didn't really know, we were a bit silly.
Yeah.
And
I don't, I know that, and that really does, that really gets my goat, because I'm just like, I am fucking 49. Don't speak to me as if I'm a little girl just because I'm female. Do you know what I mean?
That was very much the energy, wasn't
like,
it?
Do fuck off. I could actually be a granny. Like, I want some respect here, actually. You know?
Yeah.
So it's just like, ugh.
Oh, and lest we forget, I also got airdropped when we were on the train.
Oh my God.
Why are men such twats?
Who does that?
It's so weird, isn't it?
I'm so pleased I don't have an iPhone.
Yes, I know. It's a weird iPhone thing, isn't it? So somebody airdropped me a meme that said, kissing burns 6.4 calories a minute. Want to work out?
So someone on the carriage. Weird. Someone on the carriage did that.
And it was really creepy because they tried to airdrop me more stuff and I was like declining them. And Esther and I were really creeped out because we were like, someone was like watching us.
Or listening
to us.
How does that work then? Did they know who you were? Was it specifically to you, do you think? Or do you think it was like a blanket?
Maybe they sent it to a load of people. I guess I would have come up as Holly's phone.
Mm.
And then somebody would have sent it to me.
Oh my God.
I don't know. It was really weird, wasn't it?
It's really weird. Really strange.
Just people were being twats last night.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, you say people. We were. You say actual,
you know, everybody
people.
Knows what we mean.
We mean men. Men were being
twats. We mean
twats.
Men, I'm afraid.
Yeah. Sorry, men.
Anyway, shout out to the men who do listen to the podcast. You all seem like legends, but
they do.
Those ones were not last night.
No, they weren't. Holly.
Yes.
How's your running going?
Well, you're probably slightly more up to date with it than you usually are. Because I tell you what I did for my last run. I ran a 5K, actually, around Battersea Park.
Did you? Interesting. That's a different location.
It was actually, just part of the routine. It was actually really nice and reassuring and reaffirming for me because we had a lovely run. Mm-hmm. It was relatively gentle. I mean, I can feel it a little bit in my legs this morning, but it was relatively gentle. We talked all the way around. We weren't kind of like gasping for air or going absolutely flat out.
Nope.
And I did it in about 33 minutes, 32 and a half, 33 minutes or something. And I felt like, I don't know, I had a bit of a moment where I was like, oh, I've come a long way. It's certainly not, I think I did the last time I ran 5K that I recorded the time of was at the beginning of the half marathon, which was like 32 minutes. And obviously that was, I had to run 10 more miles after that. So my fitness is definitely not quite where it was last month when I was running the half marathon, but, you know, certainly not like where it was a year ago, for example. 2 years ago.
I think it's amazing.
Because I felt very comfortable us running that 5K, chatting on the way around, and it didn't... We certainly weren't last, and there were a lot of very speedy people. I don't know. It felt nice to just be able to do that with not very much preparation or planning for it. We just kind of turned up and to do it comfortably and to feel like it was a nice thing and that I enjoyed it rather than like I was going to keel over. So I'm actually feeling quite good about my running at the moment, and
that's good
6 days until I need to kick off with the next bunch of half marathon training, so there's that.
Well, I think, I mean, you know, it was lovely because you looked completely comfortable all the way around, which was really nice. And we were talking about the time that we did Park Run, which was about a year ago now, isn't it? I can't remember when it was now. But when we did that, and that was a harder effort. I mean, to be fair, it's a harder course.
It's a bit horrid.
There's a bit more trail and there's a flight of stairs in the middle of it, which is a bit cruel. So it is always going to take you longer to do that than to run around Battersea Park twice. But that was a tougher effort for you. And I know it was lovely last night for you to sort of just basically saunter over the finish line. Knock out 5K.
Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah,
absolutely. It felt really good. I was like, oh, I've come a long way in my running over the last year. And it was just a really nice thing to think.
Isn't it lovely when running does that to you? Because I think it can be such a slow burn and you can be stuck
in the... Oh, God, yeah.
And you can be stuck in the moment and just doing your same sessions like week after week after week and just think, oh, fucking hell. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like I am always, always looking at my Garmin and looking at my VO2 max and just thinking, well, that's not moving. And so I feel like nothing's happening and I'm not improving and I'm just doing the same stuff over and over and over again. And then I look at things that we have on our website and stuff about training and improving. And I know that what I should be doing is like doing loads of speed work and loads of hills and all this. Can't be arsed, if I'm honest. Simply can't be arsed. And so at the same time as berating myself for not improving, also not doing the things I know will make me improve. But then forget to look at what's happened over the last, 3 years? And just think, shit, you know, I am now in a position where, like after the PPAs, Saturday morning, I went and met my friend Laura and we ran half marathon. And there's no way Queens. I would have done that. I know. I wouldn't have done that a year ago. I wouldn't have done that. I certainly wouldn't have done it 2 years ago. But that's just my weekend long run. That's just what I do now. And so it's so nice to kind of give yourself that kind of space and just think, actually, I've come a really fucking long way. So it's amazing. Both of us.
Yeah, thank you. I think both of us have been, I don't know, it's not just smashing it on paper or anything, is it? Because like, I think you're right that some of that stuff can seem like a slow burn. But I think it's the, and I probably still can't run a 5K as fast as I could run it pre-COVID, for example, even though I'm probably technically a bit fitter now. It's just that, oh no, I don't know, maybe I'm not. Anyway, I won't overthink that too much. What I was going to say was, on a jolly note, at least I just feel like both of us are a lot more confident with it at the moment, which is part of the battle. It's a big part of the battle because I find myself holding back when I think, oh, I'm not going to be able to do this, or I'm slow, or I'm rubbish. And last night, I didn't feel that holding myself back at all. I was like, let's just go for it. Let's have a lovely run. Let's not overthink it. Let's not be scared. I think there's a lot to be said for being brave when you run.
Yeah. Yeah, I thoroughly agree, actually. And but it's being brave because you know that in doing so, you don't, like, in a way, it's the courageousness is in the first step, but once you're out there, you realize actually it's fine because it's mostly what's going on in your head. It's not any external factors. And what I mean is, like, one of the things that I feel like has transformed my running is, I think, and you can all come back and tell me that I'm an idiot in a year's time when I change my mind on this, but one thing that I've decided to do for like the rest of my running life is to remove PBs from the equation.
And oh, I love it.
It just isn't the thing. You know, it's after like we spoke to Josephine Perry, it's kind of thinking to myself, actually, what are my goals? What do I want from the things when we do the races? And I realize I just want to do them. I don't, and having PBs and constantly trying to beat my own PB, constantly trying to beat myself. And when you're trying to beat yourself, you're constantly trying to beat a younger version of yourself as well. And for me, now that I am staring 50 fully in the face, I just think I'm not that bothered. And I know that I am constantly beating me at the age of 30. I'm totally beating me at the age of 20, but I don't want to, you know, throw shade on those girls because they were doing their best. And actually, I'm doing my best now too. And I just want to do it. And I am so happy when I reach the end, you know, when I get to the finish line of like marathons or half marathons or whatever. It's so lovely to have done it. And it's so nice to not think to myself, oh, fuck, I didn't do it under 2 hours, or I didn't do it under, you know.
Yeah, like, because why on earth would we do that when you think about it? Like, that's so normalized in running. Why would we run 13 miles, 26 miles, 6 miles, 3 miles, all of those are massive achievements. Why would we run those and then go, oh, gutted though?
Yes.
Like, what a sad use of our energy and emotions after doing something incredible like that.
Exactly. And you know, that's reminded me of like, so when I was running with Laura on Saturday, so we did this kind of, it wasn't a half marathon, it was just half marathon distance, and so we were like, you know, plodding around, chatting the whole way, and we both came to the conclusion that our most unhappy half marathons were when we got our best times. So we've both run a half marathon time of 2 hours and 2 minutes. So you can see why we might be sad at the time, because we were both attempting to get under 2 hours.
And yeah,
this was on separate occasions, but both hated ourselves for not having done it. But we'd run the hardest that we'd ever run. That was a really, really hard effort for me. Really hard effort. Still didn't do it. Fucking hated myself afterwards. You know, I could, what, it's only 2 minutes. Why didn't I do that? Why couldn't I do that? And it's my best ever PB. I'm never going to get under 2 hours. I don't care anymore. I don't want to do it. I just want to run it, because, you know, when we're running like Paris and stuff, I want to run and enjoy Paris. When I ran Berlin, I was just looking around, just going, oh, look at all of these buildings. Look at these incredible people. Look at this stupid graffiti.
That's what I can't wait for Paris.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. And we'll see if we can count the fannies again. That was what you were doing in Berlin, wasn't it?
Counting fannies.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of that is just, experiencing it. And then also, like, you finish knowing that you've made an effort, but not an effort that makes you feel sick, but an effort that makes you think,
yes,
oh, now it's time for all the chips. Now it's time for the Panarezan
to
come out.
That was exactly what I felt last night. And I don't think I've run a 5K race. I'm doing race in little thingies before. I think actually when I was younger, I did a race for life when I was in school. And I probably did that in about 20 minutes or something, and then was like, oh, I'm so shit at running. And little did I know. Anyway, the whole point of this is that doesn't matter. But I think I don't think I'd run a 5K race before, and getting a medal put over your head at the end and feeling exactly that feeling of like, oh, I don't feel grim. I just feel like tired because I just exerted myself and just done a good job. And now all I want is a huge bowl of salty, greasy, crunchy chips.
Yeah.
It's such a nice feeling. Whereas you know when you overdo it, and then you can't really enjoy your chips afterwards.
That's true. You can't. You absolutely can't. But yeah, so I really, really hope that my ambition of removing PBs you can't forget the numbers. I have been in those conversations where people have said, what time did you get in the marathon? What time did you get in the half marathon? Or what time are you hoping for? And I do this sort of pretend, oh, I think it was about, you know, and that's bollocks. I mean, I know it was 4:37.
Yeah.
I did. And I also have in my head that actually it was 4:37, but I did 27 point something or other because, you know, I wasn't following the line. So I know that it was a bit less than that.
Yeah.
But I don't quite know. I can't figure that out. But yeah, so I know exactly that it was 4:37. So the next time that I do a marathon, I will have 4:37 in my head. But I don't want to beat it. I don't think I do. I'm going to try and make my head not want to beat it.
It
was
comfortable.
It was a comfortable race for me. So it's like, right, okay, I'm going to stay
there. Yeah, you know that's your thing. You've said before that covering distance comfortably and feeling like you can do these incredible feats and survive them and be like, I did that, is what really makes you tick with running long distance.
Yeah.
So, you know, time is almost irrelevant really, isn't it? And I think we always forget time on your feet is, because I was talking to a friend the other day who can run like a marathon in like 3 hours, which makes me feel a bit ill. And I was thinking about it and I was like, you know what though? In terms of time on your feet, because he was like, oh, I don't know how. And he wasn't trying to be shady towards people who take a lot longer than that. He was like astounded that you could run for longer than that and keep running. Like he was like, I couldn't have run an inch more when I crossed the finish line. And obviously everyone's got different thresholds and speeds and whatever. But it did really get me thinking that if we compared time on feet rather than time, then like...
That's a very good point. Yeah.
Like you, me, we'd all be beating people like that. Yeah. They'd be dead in the water because we can run for a much longer time.
Yeah. That's good endurance, isn't it? But yeah, it's kind of, do you know, and the other thing I was thinking about was when we were speaking to Claire last week, from trail running, and she was saying that she likes running ultras in trail because it's easier than running a marathon. And that is, that's an interesting concept, isn't it? Because it, you know, for the road runners amongst us, you think of increased distance. Every single increase, you know, a 10K is harder than a 5K, a half marathon is harder than a 10K, you know. So you just think it's harder and harder and harder the more you do, you know, it's more and more training, blah, blah, blah. And she just blew all of that out the water by saying, actually, an ultra, I mean, it does depend on the ultra, right? So so I'm not saying like the Spine race is easier than the London Marathon, because that is not the case. The Spine race is just awful and 5 days of really, really severe endurance. But a 50 miler, say, well, no, maybe not a 50 miler, but a 50K trail race could potentially be a lot easier than doing a road marathon. Because
I still haven't fully committed to this or said this in any certain terms, but I'm really, really toying with my next challenge after Paris. Rather than being a marathon, I'd really, really like to do the Jurassic Coast Ultra, because I think I don't even think I would be disappointed with myself if I ran none of it. It's more the challenge of like the point to point of like, I'd like to complete that distance, I'd like to see that stuff, I'd like to have that experience.
Yeah.
I think I probably would run some bits. It completely depends who I do it with. I think if I do it with running friends, then obviously I'll try and run as much of it as I can. But if I do it with Doug, he wouldn't want to run it. My friend Jake, who I was talking about, who's really, really speedy, he's running it, but he's a bit too speedy for me. Anyway, I'm going to go away and do some research and see if I can find someone who wants to do it with me. You're invited, obviously, if you'd like to.
Oh my God, I would so love to do something like that, I think.
I'd really love to as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I wouldn't be expecting in a million years to run the whole thing, basically.
Yeah. But and
I
also
would be wanting to cover the distance.
Cover the distance, yeah. And going back to my friend Laura, I know that she went from half marathon distance to ultra. So she didn't...
Yeah.
The only time that she... The first time that she did marathon distance was the first time that she was doing an ultra. So I remember her taking a photograph of where it said 42K, and she's like, "Ooh, done it," you know, and then she just carried on. And it's like, so, you know, you don't have to do those milestones along the way. But there is a different sort of training element to it. Like, it's helpful to do trail in the lead up to it, obviously, and to kind of run on the same sort of terrain that you will be running. That's a whole other podcast, isn't it? I think, to talk about that sort of training.
It truly is. We need another trail expert on, don't we, who can convince us that we should do it. If we've got time, do you want to just spend the last like 5 minutes talking about, because we must talk about this, I think, is it time to commit officially on the pod? Have we said this yet?
Well, I don't know if we have. Go on.
I think we have. Esther and I this year are doing Veganuary. For those who don't know, I'm sure everybody knows what that is now, because people who do it won't stop banging on about it. It's a month of eating vegan, only vegan, vegan food, obviously not vegan people.
Not
that's
actual
sort
people.
Of the opposite of vegan, isn't it? But... So all throughout January, we'll be going vegan and we're doing it in solidarity with our colleagues who work for a vegan magazine, and they have a vegan podcast called Simply Vegan Podcast. They're both absolutely lovely, glorious people, and you should listen to their pod. They are running the London Landmarks half, I think. They're running in spring.
Yep. Yeah.
So we're going to be supporting them with how to run a half marathon if you've not run a half marathon before. We may even have them on the pod and have some silly fun chats between us all. And we are going to be doing Veganuary in solidarity with them, so we can appreciate their struggles in the same way that they are going to be appreciating ours. So let us know, please write in and let us know, because Esther's really worried about meat. I'm really worried about cheese.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're already a vegetarian, so I guess
I am.
From my kind of omnivore position, I would think it would be easier for you, but actually that's only because I'm not a huge dairy fan. So, yeah, you know, I know you missing out.
Oh, I love halloumi.
Yeah.
What am I going to do without halloumi? That's my meat.
So we both have some challenges, don't we? I think it's going to be tough to kind of survive January with like fake and shroom dogs, but we'll just have to cope.
Yeah. And I think we'll be fine because it will. One thing I do find is that whenever I feel anxious or low or a bit rubbish mental health wise, which can be very likely to happen in January, I feel like cooking is something that actually always makes me feel really good.
Yeah.
It makes me feel like I'm achieving something. It makes me feel accomplished, even if I feel like everything else I've done that day is so crap and I'm such a piece of shit or whatever. Mm. If I can make a nice meal and I can go, oh, this isn't half bad, then that makes me be like, maybe I am all right after all. And I find it quite therapeutic, the process of sort of starting from a bunch of ingredients and then making something that's sort of a meal by the end of it. So I'm looking forward to that aspect of it. I'm looking forward to the challenge that it's going to present in terms of cooking more. Mm-hmm. Tell me about you though, because I feel like maybe having to deal with family, you've got two children who love fish fingers, you've got, is the situation going to be like for you as a family woman?
To be honest, I think a family woman. I think it will be all right because I mentioned it to Dave and Dave Gamely said that he would do it too.
Doug's going to do it with me as well.
Oh, that's good. So I feel like, so Dave's always desperate to eat less meat. And I do all the shopping and all the cooking. So what we eat is always down to me.
Me too.
Yeah, I think it's fine. It'll be fine. And actually, I know that this is what I shouldn't be doing, but I always cook. Well, not always. About half the time I cook separately for the kids than I do for us. Mm-hmm. Because I have
kids. Oh, that's what my family always did when I was growing up.
Yeah.
Because my parents didn't want to eat it 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So they'd stick a plate of fish fingers and peas in front of us or whatever at 5 o'clock, and then they'd have their own nice dinner that we wouldn't complain about being too complicated later in the evening.
I mean, I think it'd be all right. And we live in good times, don't we, in terms of kind of stuff that's available for vegans to eat and
In terms of mock meats, here's what I'm a new segment that I'm going to be calling Holly's Guide to Mock Meats. These are ones that I love. And am I allowed to say all these brand names on here? I don't know. Though others are available and we haven't been, this is not a paid partnership. These are just things I genuinely like.
Yes.
Future Chicken. I discovered this the other day and it is eerily terrifyingly chicken-like. It's their sort of goujon-y type nugget things, and you can get them in several supermarkets. I think you can probably get them in all the big ones. You can certainly get them in our big one in the center of town. I always get nervous about mentioning big brand names.
Mention,
can I say
brand
that
names. We're not on the bloody radio. Yes.
I know, I always feel like, oh, I don't know, an Ofcom gonna come for me.
That's all right, we're not BBC.
No, okay, we can get them in Big Sano's in the middle of town. Really nice, quite expensive for like essentially what is sort of five nubs of seitan or something, but so bloody tasty, very well seasoned, and they're really nice for a treat, probably packed with horrible, awful shit for you, but so good. This isn't sausages, this isn't bacon, this isn't mince, this isn't, those are highly convincing, and as far as I'm aware, I don't think those are too bad for you. I think they're pretty good for you, and they do, like, the bacon probably isn't great for you, is it? But like the mince and stuff like that is slightly less saturated fat and stuff like that than meat mince. And it's really, really convincing and lovely. Everything from them that I've had, and they do this with chicken as well, I think. Everything I've had from them has been really, really good.
Awesome.
Doug would add in corn cocktail sausages. He absolutely cannot get enough of corn cocktail sausages.
I love those. The kids like those.
Himself, and then he pops them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like them. And I love a corn nugget, actually. I'm very fond of
it. I love a corn nugget. Simple, but effective. Cheap. Perfect. Great.
Lovely in a pita bread.
Lovely in a pita bread. I actually, corn products all around. Corn ham, corn chicken, like the slices.
Yeah.
Oh, I decided the other day, because I got a bit worried about Veganuary, because for my lunches, lunch is where I tend to have all my dairy. Like I'll have because it's just quick and easy. I'll have cheese on toast or a cheese sandwich, or I'll have, I don't know, sometimes I have soups and stuff, jacket potato, cheese and beans. So I had the other day a sandwich with corn, chicken and salad and mayo. And obviously I'll use vegan mayo in January, and it was absolutely delish, and I was like, that's gonna be my Veganuary sandwich when I'm craving a sarnie. That's what I'm gonna go for.
Yeah, nice.
There you go. So ends the segment.
So ends the segment.
But when it comes to cheeses and stuff like that, oh my god, literally no idea. And I mean, maybe the answer is avoid them like the plague, because when I have done Veganuary, I was vegan for about 6 months in 2019. And then I have to admit, I gave it up because it was hard and I couldn't be asked. And I'm a callous bitch. But I do remember there being a lot of cheeses that cloyed to my teeth. So
yes,
let us know. Should we bother with cheese? Do we just cut it out completely, not bother with vegan cheese? If you've got any brilliant, lovely vegan recipes that aren't just chickpea curry, please let us know.
Yeah, please. Anything, it always seems to involve nutritional yeast, which makes me think of something which that you find in your pants. I was just like... Yeah.
Sounds like something you've got to do one of those at-home pH tests for. Do you have nutritional yeast?
Do you have nutritional yeast? Oh, shit, yeah.
It also looks like fish food. Have you ever seen it?
Yes, it does look like fish food.
It looks like
all
fish
these things
food.
Are not attractive, are they? That does not make you want to chow down. It's like,
I'm going to be steering clear of nutritional yeast, I think.
Steering clear of nutritional yeast.
Thank you for listening. Do please email us at wrpodcast@anthem.co.uk with any questions or running stories, as we'd love to include them in a future podcast. This podcast was recorded over Zencastr. The editor and composer was David Newman. Please hit like and subscribe. That way you won't miss the next episode. For just £2 a month, you can become one of our supporters on Patreon, and you'll receive a special patron-only weekly newsletter from me and Holly, and free access to our monthly live chats. If you join our Cheer Squad tier for just £6 a month, you can listen to bonus podcasts too. Go to patreon.com/womensrunning to find out more. Happy running.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.